is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for April 6, 2018. And man, do we have a good show for you today. I'm super excited to talk to my two guests today, the current and the former head softball coaches at Rogue River High School. Of course, that would be Jill Westlake and Dennis Artoff. And so I am super excited. Most of you know I love softball, so I can't wait to get to talk to these two. And so we're going to have a good time with that today. But before we get to our interview, let's take a look at a couple of things going on around Southern Oregon and Oregon as a whole. One of the things I wanted to touch on in the news, IP43, which is an initiative petition. It needs 88,000 signatures to make its way onto the ballot. The signature sheets are going around, people trying to get this signed. And what this bill would be, if they can get it on the ballot, is basically and I'm not going to get deep into this, it's an assault weapons ban. It would ban so-called assault weapons, which really don't have a definition, but I'm sure they give them one in this bill. And also it would ban certain large capacity magazines. But the opposition to this measure, which would include me, I'm gonna put it right out there. I am not for this measure. I will not sign the petition if it comes to me. I have no interest in this even getting onto the ballot. But the opposition, including me, we got a little boost this past week when the Jackson County Board of Commissioners also came out against the bill. So we're happy to have the support of the Jackson County Commissioners. But, you know, as most of you know, gun rights have been under attack for quite some time here in Oregon. And this proposal would be have some pretty crippling effects to gun owners and really as a whole, the gun, you know, the entire, gun industry, but mostly to the gun owners of Oregon. This would just really have some awful effects. And so I just want to urge you that if the petition comes your way, don't sign it. We don't need to put this on the ballot. There's no reason that this needs to go on the ballot. This is a knee-jerk reaction. It's just the typical gun-grabbing Oregon politicians wanting to take advantage of a tragedy. You know, never let a good tragedy go to waste, as a famous politician once said. Or actually, it was someone who worked for a politician that said that. But it's dirty politics, taking advantage of people's emotions. I don't like it. I don't like the law that they're trying to pass. So don't sign the petition, but if it does get on the ballot, absolutely please do not vote for this measure. It's a horrible bill, and it really has no business even coming to a vote. So I hope I was clear on that. Now to something a little lighter, the Rogue River Junior Senior High School had their annual air band competition this week. It's kind of a two-day event. The actual competition was today at the school, and I was told on my way to the studio that the juniors eked out a really close victory, beating out the seniors. So congratulations to the junior class, including the Rogue Talk mascot Cameron. He was in their presentation for the juniors. In fact, one of his characters, he was SpongeBob. So that was a fun event. But last night they kicked it off with a dress rehearsal, which was also a performance for the parents and the community. And they had a dinner, and it was just a really, really good time. If you would like to see those performances, I did take video of all four performances, and those are available on the Rogue Talk Facebook page. So go to Rogue Talk, or go to Facebook and search at Rogue Talk, and that'll take you right to the Facebook page, and you can find those videos there. It was a fun night. We had a great time watching those performances. So That's the only two things I think I'm going to cover right at the moment. I want to leave as much time for my guests as I can. So we're going to take our first break really pretty early here, and we'll get to all of the sports and events with whatever time we will have left at the end. But I really would like to save some time for these two wonderful softball coaches sitting in front of me. So we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Your home for Chieftain Sports. 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says some business executives have begun to express concerns to Fed officials about the impact of a possible trade war with China. In an appearance before the Economic Club of Chicago, Powell said the issue was discussed at the Fed's March meeting, but it's too early to determine what the impact will be. U.S. stocks took sharp losses after President Trump ordered the government to consider a bigger set of tariffs on goods imported from China, which could increase trade tensions between the two countries. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell as much as 767 points before it finished with a loss of 572 points. Stocks had rallied recently as investors grew more optimistic that the countries would resolve their trade disputes without resorting to measures that could hurt the global economy. The NASDAQ was down by 161, the S&P lower by 58. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rum River, Gull Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Well, in baseball last night, let's check the action. Minnesota beat Pittsburgh in interleague play, 7-3 the final. San Francisco walloped Seattle 10-1. American League, Giancarlo Stanton hit his first home run as a Yankee at Yankee Stadium, but it was a monster shot. 458 feet, 10 rows into the left field second deck, and it got there pretty quick. The shot was clocked at 117.9 miles an hour. Yankees beat Tampa Bay 7-2. Houston over Baltimore 3-2. The Angels beat Cleveland in 13 innings, 3-2 to final there. Shohei Ohtani with another home run. Chicago White Sox beat Toronto 4-3. It was Oakland 6 and Texas 2. And the Kansas City Royals and Detroit Tigers afternoon game was postponed because of weather. This is SRN Sports. In the National League, Atlanta beat Washington 7-1. Mets beat Philadelphia 4-2. Arizona over the Dodgers 3-0. St. Louis beat Milwaukee 6-0. And it was Colorado 5, San Diego 2. National Basketball Association, Philadelphia gets their 12th straight win, 115-108 over Detroit, who are eliminated from playoff contention. 76ers guard Ben Simmons says the team's peaking at just the right time of the season.
Yeah, I think it's all coming together at the right time, you can say that. But a lot of us in here haven't played in the playoffs. But it's going to be interesting as a young team. I think we're ready. I think we're getting there.
Orlando beat Dallas 105-100. Miami beat Atlanta 115-86. It was New Orleans 123, Memphis 95. Toronto beat Boston 96-78. And the late game in overtime, Lakers beat San Antonio 122-112. This is SRN Sports.
Back to Rogue Talk, and now joining me in the studio, a couple of softball coaches, and they kind of know each other just a little bit, and that would be the new head coach of the Rogue River Chieftain softball team, Jill Westlake, and her dad, Dennis Artoff, who was the longtime head coach until this season. So welcome to Rogue Talk.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so absolutely. So let's go ladies first. When was it that your dad told you that he was going to step down as the head coach, and did you need a lot of arm twisting to take over, or was that a pretty easy transition for you?
The first time he told me was my first year helping back in 2009, and it was difficult. I didn't want to. You know, we're big on tradition, and it's a family affair, and I didn't want to because I felt like it was the end of something. and it still is hard.
Well, I can imagine. I've lived here. I'm in my 17th year in Rogue River, and Dennis is the only softball coach I know. Mm-hmm. It's been that way pretty much that whole time, I think. Is that, how long have you been, were you the head coach, Dennis?
23 years.
23, see, yes. See, so yeah, it was longer than even I know. So
yeah,
that's pretty good. And a long tradition of not only winning, I mean, consistently the softball team, at least since I've been here, has been one of the consistent teams. You know, the other teams are up and down, and not necessarily based on coaching, but for various reasons. But softball seems to be the stalwart, the one that's just always there. And I always gave you, Dennis, a whole lot of credit for that. How did you get into coaching, Dennis?
I coached Little League, you know, when Jamie and Jill started playing. And just, I got asked to take the job, I think, in 95, something like that, and turned it down until I seen the facilities and the people that were coaching it, and I didn't want my kids playing like that, playing for them, so I said, changed my mind, said, sure, I'll take it, let's do it.
Yeah, I think that's that. My dad is not a baseball fan, not a softball fan, but he coached me in baseball 1 year, and I think it was he had seen the previous year's experience, and he said, I don't care that I know nothing about baseball. I want to, you know, I'm going to coach these kids because I want it done right. And right. So, yeah, I can relate to that for sure. And so let's jump back over to Jill here. You've been the third base coach, at least as long as I've been coming to games, which has been the last 3 years now, and you're continuing with that duty. But how has it changed this year being, I mean, of course, the coaching the bases is an important part of the game, but is it a harder job now that you also have to kind of manage the team, meaning you're paying attention to more than just what's happening on the base paths?
Nothing has changed.
No.
Honestly, we have our coaching staff is a team within a team, and you know Mike Miller has been there since day one of his coaching, and Kaylin Honey came in a few years ago and started helping. She's been a really big asset to the team as well. And, you know, my dad is still there. And, I mean, nothing has really changed. I think the biggest change was, gosh, I think I was pregnant with Caleb. It was the first year I started coaching third base. And he's five now. So about 5 years ago was when it took a big turn and I started being a little more vocal as far as breaking it down for the girls and really focusing on what each individual girl's strength and weakness was to try to help them in a very short amount of time when they're up to bat. But other than that, I mean, nothing has changed.
Yeah, and I was happy coming into the season, finding out that Dennis was not going to be the head coach, and seeing that he was still there, still making sure the field was prepped properly. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm glad you were able to drag him down here today, because he's been up in the booth with me a couple of times, and I was going to hand him a headset and get an interview right there at the game, but the scoreboard kept breaking, so Dennis kept disappearing, but I think he was breaking it on purpose because he knew I wanted to put him on the air.
Probably.
We got that fixed.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. So, Dennis, let's tell a little secrets on Jill here. Of course, she obviously was a player before she was a coach. What kind of a player was Jill back in the day?
Very intense. Very intense. I knew the big things in softball were ahead for Jill. Honestly, she was just intense, had a passion for the game. And that I knew she, when she didn't want to take the team, I knew that if I kind of forced her into it, like taking third base, and she goes, "You're the head coach." I said, "No, I want you to do it. I'll take first. You know, I want you on third." And that was kind of the winning point for getting her in. And I'm very, very, very proud that she's doing it. You know, I've been taking it on the lead. She's been the head coach, honestly, for the last 4 years or so anyway. She's been doing all the head coach duties. And I'm very proud of that, very much so.
Well, that's cool, and it kind of shows us that there's a real difference between the two of you in your coaching style. Dennis, you've got to be one of the most laid back people I know.
I've never played a game in my life.
Really?
I've never played softball.
Not at all.
Like I said, I was motivated by the facilities and the coaching they had when it was offered up to me. I didn't want my kids or any of their friends, you know. I wanted better.
Yeah.
I wanted them to have something better. And so I surrounded myself by people that did know the game. Ted Jones, Mike Miller, and so on. There's been a bunch of them down the line that knew the game. And so it made me look good. And I leaned on them a lot because they knew the game. They knew the game real good.
Yeah. Now, and so for every bit of being laid back that you are, Jill is about the opposite, I think. And you're pretty intense, pretty fiery. And how do the girls react to the different, to the contrast? Because you guys obviously have their ear. I mean, these girls have bought into your system year after year. So clearly you're doing something right. But what do you think that contrast does to keep those girls on board?
I think in the beginning it was actually kind of difficult. You could tell and sense the tense that would surround the girls as soon as they walked on the field. And I don't actually think that's a good thing. You know, and it now I realize I need to actually connect with these girls on a different level. It's not just about coaching them and getting on them and being a firm hand, but it's also being, you know, like show, not being scared to show the softer side and to show them that you do have compassion. And but at the same time, you know, we're not hard on you because we don't like you. We're not hard on you because we think you're terrible. We're hard on you because we see the potential. We see the heart. We see the drive. And we just want you to feel it as well. And, you know, I feel like I've learned when to pull back the reins. And when I don't want, there's no sense in kicking a dog while it's down. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I learned those same lessons in my brief basketball coaching career. You learn which girls you can lean on a little harder and which girls that you have to kind of treat with kid gloves. And when you learn that, coaching girls is amazing. I'm sure Dennis can relate too, is when you figure out how to deal with those personalities, it's super fun. I don't know what your experience is, Dennis, but my experience was that girls are ultra coachable compared to boys. Boys tend to, and it's part of our makeup as men. We kind of know everything, and we can do this, and we don't need help. And girls are very coachable. And is that been one of the keys to your success? Because I mean, this is a successful program. Nobody would argue with that. Do you think that's one of the keys to success? Is you learned how to coach girls?
Oh, pretty much. That's all we had was girls. You know, they want to learn. Then they want discipline. You know, they just like Jill said. It's just how you attack that. You know, and reining it in. And I'm a pushover. Like you said, I am. I'm just like good cop, bad cop type of thing in a way, you know. But Jill was pretty intense in the beginning, and she did rein it in just a little bit. And she'd have them running, I'd say, oh, that's enough, you know. Yeah, that's enough, cut them short, you know. And they but anyway, yeah, they want to learn, they want discipline, and they want to get better, and they do. And it's just
they, especially now, it's become a cycle, and it's nothing new. You know, the new girls that come out, they actually know what to expect. You know, the older girls tell them. And, you know, when they're scared or they're intimidated by me, they actually kind of relieve that for them. Because it's not like that. It's not a hardcore, no fun, you know, dynamic out there. It's actually a unit. And, you know, whether you need help on the field or off the field, both of us have proven very strongly that we are an open door. And, yeah.
Yeah, and I would tell girls that are coming up, that are not in high school yet and coming up to this program, I can say from an outsider who's been broadcasting the games the last couple of years, on the surface, Jill may be a little bit intimidating, but I can tell you that this team has as much fun as any team I've seen, and Jill's a huge part of that.
Absolutely.
I knew Dennis would agree with me. Yeah. From my 30,000-foot view, you are the perfect balance of intensity and caring, and you don't, you know, first impression sometimes isn't always the best impression. You know, my first impression was, wow, she's intense, and you are. And it's funny, I think Dennis was in the booth with me a couple games back, and I made a little joke on the air about somebody not coming around third and coming home, and I said, I can't imagine Jill wasn't waving them home, so I'm not sure what happened. because you have an aggressive style of base running, coaching, and it pays off. I mean, it pays off most of the time. And I don't want to cast any dispersions on our baseball team, but a couple of times already this season, aggressive base running has hurt them because it was aggressive at the wrong time.
Right.
And I think that's something that I see in your coaching is that you want aggressive base running, but you don't want to be reckless. You want to be aggressive, and that's
right.
There's a big difference
smart.
There.
You gotta
right.
be smart.
And, you know, to touch on that, baseball got a new coach this year, and I've heard nothing but great things about Shane. And I also think that in itself, it comes to consistency. And these programs that have struggled, they have so many different coaches coming in and out, and it's hard for these athletes to get into a groove and to be continuously successful. So when I'm base coaching, I know my runners. I know who is, like, has the potential to be a little more aggressive, who doesn't, who is hurt, who, you know, has the drive or that aggressiveness that are going to get down going into home, you know, and it's about knowing your players. And I believe, you know, like I said, I think Shane's on his way to, like, getting to know his guys, and he's going to do great things for that program.
Yeah, and I definitely don't, I don't mean to take anything away from them. I'm super impressed with what I've seen so far from the baseball team this year, and I think he's a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that doesn't take anything away from Coach Chick. He only got 1 year to
really to
start a system, and so it's hard to judge it on that. And I liked what I was seeing, you know, going through last year with the baseball team.
Right.
But again, this year with a new coach, I'm still really impressed with the buy-in from the team, and that. You know, that's an important thing.
When they got to buy into something different every year, it makes a huge difference. Consistency is everything.
Well, and I've been through that with my kids coming up through there. They've had different coaches for basketball. They've had different coaches for soccer. There's been a little stability in soccer the last few years, and I think it's helping. Yeah, and it shows on the performance on the field. So let's get back to Dennis for a second here. We sort of dove into Jill as a player, but what positions did she play? What were her strengths back when she was playing?
She did it all, be perfectly honest. She could pitch. She settled in as a catcher. She was a very good catch. She played second base for us quite a bit. She batted from the left side, batted from the right side. She could drag bunt. Honestly, I'm not tooting her horn, but that is the truth. She could play just darn near anywhere we needed her.
Now, you can confirm this. We didn't really talk much before we started the interview.
Not at all.
The fact that you said she settled in as a catcher is not a surprise to me at all.
Right.
Because I played a lot of catcher in baseball, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I wasn't that great of a catcher. But I love playing catcher because next to being the pitcher, you run the team. You're in charge. So I can see Jill wanting to be
another 3 or 4 inches of height and another 20 or 30 pounds. I mean, being a bigger girl, her size is what I think would hold her back. There's no telling where she would have went, honestly. I really feel that's true, too.
Well, and she probably, if things weren't going right with Coach Dad, she probably just batted those eyelashes a little bit.
Oh,
said, come
my.
On, Dad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I didn't dare.
That's good. So we're kind of doing things backwards here. I usually dive into kind of the family and stuff first and go to the other stuff later, but we all love softball, so I wanted to go right with that. But let's learn a little bit about you, Jill. You're married and you have some kids. Tell us just a little bit about your family.
I'm married to Corey. He's my husband, and we have two kids. Reese is 8, and Caleb, our son, is 5. And I mean, it's a lot of fun. Reese actually finally wanted to start playing softball. She did it 1 year, and then she told me she didn't want to play, and kind of broke my heart. But I was like, okay, you know. So we did soccer for a year and a half, and then this season, she's like, I'm gonna play softball. I said, you bet. Like, Caleb, you want to play baseball? He's like, no, I'm going to play football. It's like, well, it's not football season. Like, do you want to play baseball? No, I'm going to do football. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I've been through that with my kids too. In fact, Cameron has no interest whatsoever in baseball. He never really took to it. And I grew up, I love baseball. Softball. I've told the story before. I won't tell it again. But I mean, I lived at the softball diamonds for years. So that was a little heartbreaking. But now he's really doing well in track and cross country, which were things I kind of discovered at the end of my high school career. And so I didn't really get to find out how good I really was, but he's finding that out. And, you know, he's actually working toward, he'd like to get some scholarship money for running. So, you know, if he does, wow, that's great.
Yeah, great.
So Dennis, she mentioned her two kids. You recently took a little trip with the little ones. Tell us about that a little bit.
Oh yeah. We went on a Disney cruise. I had all five of them. It was awesome. About 4 or 5 years ago, we took the two oldest, and then this year we decided to take them all, and I just love them. It's just so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah.
Great time.
I've got my first grandbaby, and I was babysitting today, and I'm loving it. It's the most wonderful. It's just as much fun as having my own kids. Right. It really is. Actually, it's more fun because when she gets real fussy, I just send her home.
Yeah. Oh, when your kids are little, you're busy working, trying to make a living, trying to, you know, do everything, so you don't have the time, or at least you don't think you do. I'm kind of finding out maybe I had more time than I thought I did. But anyway, but with the grandbabies, it turns out, you know, got more time.
Yeah.
More time to spend on them. And
we've all had that struggle of,
right,
you look back and go, yeah, I probably had more time, but you know what? You can't go back and fix it. You just,
no, and I mean, unring the bell.
The results are right in front of us. You know, Jill is, she's wonderful. So you've done a pretty good job.
Jamie's the same way. They're both great.
Yeah.
Really good.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So now, Dennis, you and I actually go back right to the beginning of me having my own route or my own company for landscaping. Mm-hmm. We met when you were building a RV park.
Right.
And exactly. That's also when I met your dad, and I wanted to talk about him today because he's a huge, important part of the program at Rogue River.
Right.
Talk a little bit about your dad, because I got to meet him briefly, and he was one of the sweetest guys, and I got to see his truck when it was just a rusty, you know, just a roller, basically. So tell us a little bit about your dad and what he's meant to your family, not only that, but also to the Rogue River program.
Right. They nicknamed him Bulldog, and they nicknamed him Bulldog for a reason, because you'd give him a task and he just went straight forward for it. The lights at the softball field, that was just, we were just after practice with Ted Jones, we were just talking, yeah, it'd be cool to have lights. Shoot, next thing we know, we got lights showing up, we got poles showing up, we got wire going, he's passing the hat to get money to do this. And I said, we were just talking, you know, but he made it happen, and that's just the way he was. You didn't mention anything around him unless you really wanted it to happen, because it happened. You know, and he loved those great, bring them popsicles after on a hot day, you know, and just, he was just always doing something. Everybody loved him, and I truly miss him. I really do.
Yeah, he was a great, I didn't get to know him as well as I would have liked to.
Yeah.
But I remember, like I said, when you opened up the park, and I would be there doing the maintenance, you know, mowing the lawns, and he had his spot in the corner there.
Yeah.
And I remember when he brought that truck in, and I didn't know what you're saying about him today, about his, you know, his drive to get things done and whatever. And man, that truck went from nothing to something in no time at all.
Exactly. That's the way he gets on it, and he's on it. You know, most people would take a couple of years, 3 or 4 years, maybe to just slowly do it. No, it had to be done. It had to be done now.
Now, I assume that truck is still somewhere in the family. I remember, I think I talked to you, it was in the parade a couple years back, and that's the last time I saw it.
Yeah, he made it very clear when on his passing that Jill was to have that truck. And I thought, well, what about me? You know, I like that truck. He said, Jill gets that truck. I said, okay, Dad, Jill will have that truck, and Jill does have that truck.
Well, there's a funny story behind the truck, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so when I was 14 or so, there was this Shell beat-up old pickup out back, and we were going to fix it up, and it was going to be my car. Well, years went by, and it never happened, so my dad sold it. Well, Papa Bull wanted to fix up another truck, bought the exact same one.
Yeah, just funny how that worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and I you know, I can see he meant a lot to you guys, and I miss him, and I didn't know him that well. I mean, yeah. He was just such a neat guy, but and he's been just such a huge part of the Rogue River Chieftain program, right. And you know, he and you kind of have followed in his footsteps, I think, Dennis, is, yeah. You know, you're there making sure that field is spot on ready to go for games. Even when you were managing, you were doing
right.
that.
I mean, oh,
that,
yeah. I enjoy it.
You didn't want anybody else on that field. Right. You wanted to make sure it was done right, and yeah. that goes a long way into the, you know, the character of the program. Yeah. I think
I like doing the field. I like putting the heads up pennies at every position. I don't know if you even know we do that. I've done that for years. I put a heads up penny at every position so the girls can find them and bring them a little luck for the game. But I'll tell you, for about 3 years, the girls would find them, didn't have a clue. They go, hey, I found a penny. No, they didn't. And then I found one. You know, but they never put together those pennies were being put there.
So who finally broke it to them where the pennies were coming from?
I just don't figure it out. You know, that ain't the Easter Bunny.
Because I could see a discussion going on in the dugout. Hey, yeah I found a penny, too. I found a penny, too. And I could see Jill maybe sitting back going, you guys know where those pennies came from, right?
I know, like, duh. Gosh.
I know, it's like, I'm game after game after game, and I still put pennies out, you know. You know, bring them a little luck.
What a great tradition. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I had no idea. So you won't let me on the infield, so how would I know?
Most of them run around with their shoes. They always put them in their shoes, so they run around just clank, clank, clank in their shoes. They carry these dang pennies in their shoes, so.
Well, we know at least no moss will grow under their feet.
That's
so.
Right. Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about this season, since we've got a few more minutes left. What have been the challenges going into this season? Like, you know, we have a new pitcher, and I didn't know Lizzie before this year. Of course, Lizzie Atterbury. Definitely different style than
Alyssa
right. from last year. My mind was going blank. That's pretty good. The old guy helped me out. Yeah. So, kidding.
Slacker.
Kidding,
right.
Dennis. Yeah. So what kind of adjustments have you had to make to kind of adjust to the changes on the team? You lost some seniors. You lost your catcher.
Mm-hmm.
You lost your pitcher. So that's pretty big.
Yeah,
losing your starting battery
yeah.
for sure.
Right. You know, you just push forward. We've had pretty good luck as far as having some really good athletes come in, especially to fill in the holes in the infield. Our biggest struggle this year are injuries that have come up, big injuries. And, you know, we just hope for the best, like, for them to heal and recover quickly. And as far as, like, Lizzie goes, you know, it's not the pitching spot is never an easy spot to replace, especially when you have such a consistent one that is left. And, you know, Lizzie, she's going to work hard. She already has, you know, she started throwing with the pitching coach back in October. And, you know, so her dedication, there's no doubt about that. I think it's just going to be a little bit of settling in. It's going to take a little bit more time for the defense and her to gel. You know, for them all to have the confidence and
get behind her. Right?
Yeah. You know, I know in the game against, who did we just play? I can't remember. Last Saturday.
Want the old guy to help you out?
Was it Gold Beach?
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, Gold Beach. In that second game, they got some pretty big hits off of her. But that's the only time that a team has really banged the ball off of Lizzie. And, you know, we tell her we're not looking for a bunch of strikeouts. Let your defense work, but you have to throw it to where they can manage it. Let them back you up. They can't defend a gap hit. You know, and they do a pretty good job of backing her up. And, you know, there's always room for improvement, and the improvement will be there. They're good athletes, and they're working hard. And, you know, offensively, they put the bat on the ball a lot, and they do very well. And we have some good veterans that are juniors, especially, and Kobe and Zoe Reeder as our seniors. You know, they're great examples to the girls for aggressive running, for keeping morale up. Zoe Reeder has been a really big blessing this year as far as pumping up the team. You know, she'll call a timeout in the middle of an inning to talk to Lizzie and give her some reassurance, and I just love that.
Well, and she's a pretty tough kid, too. We've halfway nicknamed her Queen Concussion because she's had a few.
Yeah.
And now I've lost what I wanted to ask you. Well, we can go back to a game, a home game that was called due to rain at the end of six innings, and we lost that game. But in that last inning, we came from behind, and there was quite a contrast there. Now, for one thing, the opposing pitcher and her coach were pretty frustrated about the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the difference, one of the differences there was, Lizzie's not a really hard thrower compared to some of these other girls, and this girl was a hard thrower, which made the rainy conditions even more challenging for her. But the other thing I noticed is, no matter how bad things are going, she seems to stay pretty composed. She doesn't really get out of her game, and she, for someone that doesn't throw really hard, she has a pretty devastating changeup. What is it that makes her as successful as she's been, at least so far this season? Because again, I didn't know her before this season, and I hadn't seen her pitch before, but she really, no matter how, you know, someone makes an error, she doesn't drop her head. She just keeps on going to work. She reminds me of Dennis a little bit. Just keep working. Just keep working. What do you think that is that's working for her?
You know, a lot of that comes from just their personality. You're going to get a firecracker in there, or you're going to get somebody that is just kind of calm. And I do think Lizzie keeps a lot inside. I think that she's one that just kind of shoves it down. And, you know, when it's an appropriate time, she lets it out. And she swings the bat very well. And she swings hard. So sometimes I wonder if she's getting a little bit of her frustration out in that way. And she's very successful at it. And so sometimes even that in itself is uplifting. And the girls do a good job up at the plate too. So, again, it's reassurance for her. You know, yes, there was an error, but that doesn't define them. It was just a crummy situation, crummy play, and the girls take ownership for it. You know, I tell them all the time, you're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. You have to recover. And that's maybe what she's thinking about. You have to recover. You can't dwell on it. Let it go.
Yeah. Now, of course, we mentioned catching being such an important position, and you had a senior catcher that moved on, and Molly Culotta's had to step in. And give me your assessment of how she's adjusting to her new position.
Molly's always wanted to be there. Actually, unfortunately, in the past, her freshman year, we had Courtney Hardy there. She was a senior, so that just wasn't, you know, Courtney had the spot, hands down. Last year, Molly was there, and she got hurt. And then, so we pulled our center fielder, Ellie Mulder, threw her back there. And there's no denying, Ellie did her standout job. And, you know, the battery is where it starts. For, you know, setting the tone of the team, of the field, of the play. And it wasn't something that we wanted to disrupt. And, you know, it's a huge position. It's a huge responsibility. And Molly does work very hard. I think she is too hard on herself. You know, that's not how you take out your frustration. You take out your frustration by pushing yourself to be better. And she'll get there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is her first year really being in that spot, and it's fine. It'll take time, and that's okay.
Yeah, and she definitely is hard on herself, but the flip side of it is she's become a very vocal person, which is a perfect for a catcher. She needs to be able to call out those signals and call out those adjustments and things.
I tell her all the time, you are the eyes and the ears of this team. You have to tell them where to go. You need to know where the play is every single time. You need to be thinking ahead. And we practice it every day.
Yeah. She's the only player facing the entire team. I mean, it's her job to do.
Yeah, and I'm going to run out of time. I'd love to keep you guys here for a whole hour, and I can't quite do that, but I wanted to quickly, let's touch on, there was two more players I wanted to hit. of course, you talked about Kobe, your senior. She's pretty happy to be back at second base. Is she going to be able to stay there, or are the injuries going to have to move her around again?
You know, the injuries have moved her. However, it's very temporary, and she knows that, and she's stepping up to the task. And when she asked to play second, I looked at her. I'm like, you're kidding. Like, you were first team hands down last year as a first baseman. I mean, there's nobody that could touch her in or compete with her in that spot. And she's like, it's my senior year. She was getting a little upset, and I was like, dang it. Okay. Like, yeah. We'll try it, but if it doesn't work, we're not doing it.
She had to dig deep, but she found Jill's soft side on it.
Yeah, it's like, ugh. So it's fine, and it's actually working out very well. You can tell she's comfortable in that spot. She's extremely aggressive, comes up with some huge plays. And with Jesse over at shortstop, they just groove. They get each other. They're reading each other's moves. They know their moves before they make them. And that's an excellent thing to have, especially with your middle infield. So I definitely don't want to disrupt that. And when I can get Jesse back over to short, I mean, it's going to happen. And we'll just go from there.
Yeah. And normally, of course, talking about any team, I might... The last person I want to talk about might be Jessie, but I'm going to leave her out this time. No offense to Jessie. She's amazing.
She's
I get to heap praise on her all year long.
Oh,
so,
man. Yeah.
But the one I wanted to ask you about was out in left field. Destiny Rangel apparently has played almost no softball, and she is doing a bang-up job out there. What's been your reaction to her job out in left?
She's been a pleasant surprise and, you know, a big blessing for our outfield. She's so darn quick, and she's one of those that is an athlete. You know, she picks up on things quickly. She's coachable. She listens to what you're telling her. And if she doesn't understand, she asks questions. And that is so great. Like, I tell the girls all the time, like, don't be afraid to ask questions. There's no dumb question. A dumb question is one not asked. So I'm going to get mad at you if you do it wrong because you didn't ask a question. But she's awesome. I'm so glad that she came out, and I really hope that she comes out again next year. And we couldn't be happier to have her.
Right.
Yeah, and we're not trying to leave anybody out. I just there's a few things I noticed from the booth that I wanted to touch on. And this is in Destiny's case, it's kind of been the year of Destiny. She's been trying every new sport she hasn't done. She did really well in basketball. Mm-hmm. She's doing really well in softball. So I just kind of wanted to point that out, that, you know, she's not necessarily always one of the stars of the team, but for a kid that hasn't played a couple of sports,
she's really
come on strong. Yeah. And it's been fun to watch so far. I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to the rest of the season. So are there any other last words you guys would like to get in about this softball season? We're going to just about out of time.
Oh, no. But thank you, covered it all.
Yeah,
I appreciate you coming
job.
Out and doing what you're doing. We've never had that.
I wish we could be there every game.
So it's awesome.
I wish we had the ability. We don't have
you
two
can
stations.
Only be there one place at one time.
So we can only do one at a time. But, I'm enjoying it, and I love it. And you guys make it that much better. It's fun to be part of a program that not only is a quality program, but that you feel a part of, and you guys make me feel a part of it, and I appreciate that. And
absolutely.
And I'm enjoying it, and I'd be out there coaching with you if that was the direction I had gone, but I love getting to do what I do. So
yeah.
Well,
I have one thing to say. I just want to say thank you to our fans. Last game, I mean, they know that scoreboard has been an issue for us. Unfortunately, somebody broke into the score booth and just trashed everything in it, and we can't even shut the door anymore now, and they trashed our control box that does the score booth or the scoreboard, and somebody started taking up a collection during the last game and raised about $130 some, and my dad got on his phone, ordered the new remote, and it's in. And
it's
I just want to say what a great feeling it is to have such great fans and the support of the girls' friends, family members, you know, and it means a lot. Yeah. And it's definitely noticed, and we really appreciate it.
He said some of the Gold Beach people kicked in.
Yeah,
that's that awesome.
You know, that's
pretty cool.
You know, and I'd like to say that surprises me, but it doesn't. The Southern Oregon community as a whole is, they're just, you know, we stick behind one another, and that's a cool thing. I didn't hear about that. Cool. In fact, I had told Dennis when we were in the booth the last time. I said, man, I'd like to get up here and get this all cleaned up and vacuumed out and get it, you know, get it back the way that it should be.
Right.
But I hate to do it because you guys are great. I'd love to keep you here. We're going to have to quit this or I'm not going to have any time left for commercials. So, which is not important, but has to be done.
But
Dennis, Jill, thank you so much. We will be with you the rest of the season and get into as many games as I can. Unfortunately, I won't have one of your games until the following Saturday, but we look forward to that, and thanks again for everything you do for Rogue River Chieftain Sports.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we will take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Most economists agree that the tariffs the United States and China are prepared to slap on each other's goods would slow growth, raise prices, and force companies to scramble to replace the Chinese suppliers they now rely on. For now, optimists are clinging to tentative signals from the Trump administration that it's prepared to negotiate with Beijing and avert a trade war. But the risks appear to be rising. Embattled Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt has met with President Trump to lay out his case for why he should remain in his post. Pruitt visited the White House on Friday to discuss his agency's recent steps to roll back Obama-era fuel efficiency standards for cars. But according to two administration officials, he also fought for his job in his meeting with the president. On Wall Street, a rough day as the Dow was down by 572 points. The Nasdaq dropped 161. The S&P lower by 58. This is SRN News.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. Researchers have found middle-aged Americans who have had a sudden economic blow are more likely to die in the following years than those who did not. The study has found this affected people no matter how much money they had before. A researcher says the result could be stress, delays in health care, and even suicides. The study is found in the Journal of the American Medical Association. U.S. auto sales were up 6.3% in March on rising sales of SUVs and pickup trucks. Sales totaled 1.6 million. According to the firm Auto Data, truck and SUV sales rose 16%, while car sales plunged more than 9%. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 389 points. With business, I'm Dennis Crowley.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and I want to thank once again Jill and Dennis for coming in today. What a fun interview that was, and you can see why over the years our softball program has just been so amazing, because the dedication and the and and really the ability to coach that these two possess is just it's a great addition to a program, and that's why Chieftain softball has been so good for so long. So I want to thank them again for coming in. And I did want to mention to you that I was scrolling through Facebook earlier today, and I noticed another 5-star review on the Facebook page for Depot Street Grill. And of course, Depot Street Grill has been nice enough to underwrite Rogue Talk, and we're happy to have their support. But I was just reading that review, and they said such nice things about him, and I thought, I'm not surprised by that. Of course, we had Josh in here a few weeks back and talked to him, and he's one of the owners of the Depot Street Grill. And so I just wanted to give them a shout out. Of course, it's been fully renovated since they took it over. It's a clean, comfortable place. Their staff is an amazing staff of really friendly people. And of course, top-notch ingredients. They're just cooking great food over there. There's so many options to choose from. As I've mentioned before, I think that my favorite choice on their menu is that barbecue bacon burger. It has a onion ring on it and of course, bacon. And so lots of good stuff to choose from at the Depot Street Grill, and we just want to thank them for being an underwriter of Rogue Talk. And don't forget, they also have ice cream and shakes at the Depot Street Grill, and they feature Umpqua ice cream, and as most of you know, that's a local favorite that most of us enjoy. I enjoy it probably too often at my house, and that would explain the few extra pounds. And again, thank you so much to Depot Street Grill, and stop on by and let them know how much you appreciate that they sponsor Rogue Talk so that we can keep this show on the air. So now we've covered that, let's hit some of the sports. I left some of the sports stuff to the last here because I wanted to give Dennis and Jill as much time as I could. And boy, I'm glad I did. They did not disappoint. So the Rogue River golf team had their last event was actually yesterday. I don't have any results on that. I'll try and have those results next week on next week's show. Their next meet is coming up, or their next event coming up Friday the 13th, and they'll be at Roseburg. So good luck to the golf team. We'll talk more about both of those events, yesterday's event and the event on the 13th, coming up on future editions of Rogue Talk. Chieftain Baseball now has a 3-2 record, and this past week they had games last Saturday. They swept a doubleheader versus North Valley last week, and then on Tuesday they lost to Douglas. That was a game we featured right here on the Bridge. And then today, they're playing a doubleheader that was originally scheduled for Mike Umscheid Field at Rogue River High School, but because of the wet weather of mostly yesterday and this morning, they've moved it to the turf field at Hidden Valley High School. The first game should already be underway. It started at 2:30. Second game will be at 4:30, and we will have that game right here on the Bridge. And as most doubleheaders go, that may not start right at 4:30, but that's the scheduled time, and we'll be there to cover it today. And we'll also be covering the Chieftain baseball team tomorrow, but that game is a little bit up in the air. It was originally scheduled as a doubleheader at Coquille. Now it's a single game, and it may also get moved to Hidden Valley, which is sort of an odd choice, but because they have a turf field, and so that may get changed. I'll try and find that out and let you know during today's broadcast of the Chieftain game against Hidden Valley. And finally, Chieftain softball. They are now sporting a 2-2 record. Last Saturday, they split a doubleheader with Gold Beach. And tomorrow, they will play what appears to be moved to North Valley. Again, those games were originally scheduled to be at Rogue River High School. It appears that those will be moved to North Valley. You'll just have to kind of stay tuned on that one. If I get any information on that, I will announce that during tonight's game as well. But at last check, the doubleheader for the Lady Chieftains is moved tomorrow to North Valley. Game times should still be the same, 12 and 2. But you'll have to check local listings on that because it could change again. And so that's all we're going to have for you today. And so once again, be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com. We'll be right back.